from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
It's a mindset. Can, when we put pads on, still play with a physicality and a personality, but still play with technique? And so that was the biggest thing, is the energy going to stay consistent, and can the technique stay where it needs to be?
It was a tough day at practice. It was a tough day at practice, but a good day at practice.
The Bills adding a safety, Kareem Jackson.
Jackson
signs a 1-year deal with the Bills to help buffer the Mike Edwards injury.
Mike Danger.
Just been a joy, a treat to be able to watch these guys get after it every single day, and watching each position go through their own drill and their own paces before putting it all together on those 11-11 drills. It's been a lot of fun, and today's practice was no different.
Gene Battaglia.
I feel like we're part reporters here for the Bills, offering our opinions and what happened. I also feel like we're ambassadors for our hometown, right? We love Rochester. We want to show everything off, and we're certainly proud of the cuisine here.
It's garbage!
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back into the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, glad you're with us this afternoon. We are live from St. John Fisher University, Buffalo Bills training camp, day 6 in the books, and our annual visit with Bills GM Brandon Bean. Hey, Brandon, welcome back.
Appreciate you guys. Always good to be back up here.
Yeah, we're going to start with the hard-hitting stuff.
All right.
Have you played Hoke Hill, and how did you do?
You know, I've played it a few times. I came up here twice before we got to camp because
good.
I wanted to make sure to get some rounds in. And then we snuck out on Saturday, the players' day off in the afternoon. So, like anything, it was fun. I left a few shots out there. The last round, I had 3 putts on the first 9, so I kind of set myself back. But finished all right.
All right, good. I would love that you come to enjoy Oak Hill every year here, and it's become a tradition to have you here in the Sports Bar as well. Some news from today, Brandon, you signed Kareem Jackson. And the question, I think a lot of people wonder when you see that signing at his age, how much gas do you think he has left in the tank?
Yeah, I mean, you look at his film last year, and I didn't see a guy that had, like, fell off the cliff. His age is surprising, you know, that man, this guy last year was 35 and still moving. He had a kind of a weird year. He got suspended for a couple of hits that they're trying to get out of the game, and we talked about it a little bit, and you know, I think he even went up to the league office and talked to those guys. And, you know, they've said, they're trying to put the onus. You've got to protect the offensive player. And, you know, I looked at some of the hits, and he's trying to be physical, not, you know, sometimes I think some of these defenders are worried about going too low and taking a knee out. And so it all made sense. But he's a guy that's very instinctive, a former corner. And the funny thing about his game is you don't see corners that move to safety be very physical. Usually that's their biggest issue. They got the range and the ball skill still, but this guy, he loves the contact, seeks, you know, he's a hitter. He'll have to get up to speed. He hasn't been in our defense, but he's a guy we looked at before when we had, you know, when we had some safety injuries in season, but we couldn't get Denver to move off the spot on him.
Yeah, so Brandon, an obvious follow-up, because a fan favorite is still out there, you know, why bring in Jackson over Micah Hyde?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, you know, we're just, you're always looking at everything, and we wouldn't hesitate to bring Micah back. It's just it's all timing, and those conversations remain open. So nothing that we've done or would do would ever keep us from bringing Micah back if it made sense for both sides.
You mentioned Jackson suspensions and the league office getting involved, and there's a couple of things, a couple of rule changes going into this year, and I wanted to get your perspective on it. One, we've talked a lot about the special teams and the new kickoff rules and everything. We get to see it at practice here at St. John Fisher, and it's a little bit jarring to the eye at first, because unless you were watching the XFL when that rule was there. The bigger one for me, I think that's going to be a little hard for officials. Talk a little bit about what the hip drop tackle rule is going to be like for teams this year in terms of, I mean, that feels like a rule that could be a little hard to officiate and could certainly swing the outcome of a game, being that it's a 15-yarder.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're – what our understanding is, and you're right, you watch plays, and I know even us going through them at league meetings, you know, if 10 people are looking at it, 8 might say it's a hip drop and two might not, and the league says that's not, and then the next one they say it is. So it is gray. They're – trying to basically say if you latch onto a guy and unweight yourself and pull him backwards, or it's almost like an extension of the horse collar just at a lower angle. So I don't think that they're going to, at least our understanding, year one, they do want to eliminate it. But I think they're going to more fine you after, you know, which they do on a lot of hits at the safety position. You know, when guys are defenseless, sometimes they're not called in the game, but a player might get a fine a week later or whatever it is. I think they're going to do that. I don't think you're really going to see, unless it's just egregious, I don't think you're going to see a flag at least this upcoming season.
Brandon Bean is our guest. Buffalo Bills off the field, the sixth practice in the books today. The future and right now for the cap, how does the cap look in 2024 and beyond?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously had we had to make some tough decisions coming into 2024. Fortunately, the cap did have a big spike this year, and we don't have the exact numbers for next year. We would love another big spike. You know, when you're trying to build it around a quarterback like Josh and some of the other pieces we've extended. But you know, I think it'll be a better outlook. We've found some younger players to fill some of these roles, and so younger is usually cheaper and more cost effective. And so we got to continue as we move forward into 25 and 26. We got to hit on these draft picks. We've always said it. Not only do you want to draft and develop, it just they usually turn out to be the best fits. But from a cost control standpoint as well. So we're excited. You know, right now our college scouts have been in here. We're about to send them on the road and hadn't met with a lot of these guys this morning, and we're excited about the draft capital we have going into next year and the emphasis that I put on that we've got to hit another draft here.
Is that the biggest challenge when you carry the second most dead cap weight in the league is hitting on those draft picks? Explain the challenges of building a roster when you're that cap strapped.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's naturally the easiest thing is to see a guy in the NFL and watch him do his position, whatever it is, and say, oh, that translates to our team. The hardest scouting part of it is these guys are playing at all different levels in college. You know, whether they're playing at Troy or Taron Johnson at Weber State, you know, Josh Allen at Wyoming, or guys at Bama, Georgia, you know, that you always see in the Final Four or the championship games. And so you're trying to evaluate all those guys and then project, and some of these guys are 21, some are 23, some are 25. They're all different ages of where they're going to, you know, ascend into our league. And so that's why it's so important to hit these and continue to do that. And again, this year we were able to add some draft capital with the move with Steph, and then we made a move in the draft to get, I think, Chicago's fourth. So it's a very important if we want to be cap strong the best we can, knowing we have a franchise quarterback, that those costs we see are continuing to rise.
Brandon Bean is our guest. Talking about those picks later on, I mean, when you get a Christian Benford to pop like that, I would imagine you take great pride in that. And when we're looking at this year's class, is there a guy that you're particularly excited about, whether that's Cedric Van Prang Granger, maybe a third rounder in Dwayne Carter? What are your thoughts on the later picks here from the 2024 class?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Dwayne's still learning this game and how we want to play versus at Duke, and it is a transition for him. And, you know, Ced Van Pran, a guy that, you know, first position would be center, but, you know, he's also getting reps at guard. But, you're talking about a guy who was a three-time captain and at Georgia and won multiple championships. So we're excited about these guys, and you know, you hope that you don't need them as much this year in year one to let them, you know, transition from the college game to the pros. But injuries happen, things happen. We're going to get them all ready to, you know, to play, and you know, injuries will force them their hand at some point. You hope it's spot duty versus having to run on an 8-game stretch. And again, the young tackles that we got late, those guys have done a good job. It's exciting to now see those guys in pads too.
How do you evaluate that, Brandon? And you and Sean, you know, you draft these guys with a purpose. You draft these guys because you believe that they're going to make the team better. But we've seen inconsistencies as far as how they get in. A guy like Trey White, day one starter, right? Dalton Kincaid took a few games, came on because of an injury to Dawson Knox last year, and we expect big things out of him this year. When you talk about a guy like Cole Bishop, you know, there's an injury and he's getting some reps with the first team. What's the evaluation when you determine when that rookie is ready to go? Is it in practice? Is it, you know, what you'll see in the preseason? What goes into that decision?
It's all of it. You're around them too. How confident are they, the maturity of them? And they, you know, it can be some guys walk in and it is just like, it's like they are still at, you know, Florida State or wherever they came from. They're playing at a level that you would expect. And some guys, it's a big transition. And sometimes just the transition of life of what is a professional athlete versus a college athlete and the expectations. And, you know, now they've got money. You know, now some of them are getting money in NIL now, so that they're used to that. But there's so many different things, and you can probably use it in any office. Some people are really good in college, but they're not great business workers, you know, right away. It takes them a little bit to understand. And so you try to do it at the pace that they're going. Sometimes it's, you know, when this team in 2017, there was not a lot of depth. So you're dropping a Deion Dawkins in the lineup. You're dropping Tre'Davious White.
Yeah.
As you build the roster and get more depth, it becomes harder and harder. And listen, as I said, coaches naturally want to see a guy that's done it and prove it. It's hard to stick a guy out there right away. I mean, I think even James Cook, it took him a little bit of time to build, you know, the confidence in James and make sure he's confident in doing his job.
Brandon Bean is our guest. Big story line from last week in the NFL. Tua Tagovailoa gets a deal. Jordan Love gets a deal. And when you're looking at the comparison, relatively speaking, I mean, Josh Allen provides you great value. Like, at what point do you sit down maybe with Josh's people and say, hey, you know what, we should take a look at this, maybe extending?
Yeah, we always look at that stuff and have open dialogue, you know, with Josh and his reps. Great relationship, Patrick Collins, CAA, and all those guys. So we always have open dialogue, you know, whether these deals got done or not, where things are, where the market's going, and you do that at other positions too.
Back on the field, through six practices, is there a player that stood out to you, somebody that's turned your head, made your eyes go a little bit wide?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's been some different guys. I mean, I think it's been good to see Vaughn. You know, Vaughn's had a really good – we gave him an off day yesterday, and I thought you saw another level of twitch and explosiveness today on him. But, you know, Terrell Bernard being back out there, he's made a lot of plays. Kyer has had a really good camp going into year three. You know, I think his confidence level is at an all-time high, and that's a position you got to be confident playing corner. You know, a lot of the receivers, different guys, Curtis Samuels had, you know, a day, Shakir, Keon's made some plays in the red zone, and so, you know, 17, he's been pretty good too.
We were talking about this on the show yesterday. I guess it's a storyline every camp, every year, but where do you draw the line when it comes to, you want guys competing, but these skirmishes break out. So how do you kind of balance that?
Yeah, you know, you want them competing, and you want guys pushing each other to the edge and trying not to cross it. Sometimes tempers are going to flare, you know, and maybe you feel like you didn't see the film. You feel like a guy cheap shotted you, but maybe he got knocked into you, and that's like I'm gonna give him a little extra on the next play. And that's how you can sometimes, and just from my vantage point, I'm like, all right, I start watching these two because I can tell there's some jawing afterwards or somebody giving them a little bit extra, you know, beyond the whistle. So you try to be ready, and again, if you went through a whole camp and you didn't have some skirmishes, I'd be worried about, you know, are these guys prepared and ready for battle?
Well, I was going to ask you, where's Sean with all of that? Because I have a feeling that Sean is a camaraderie guy, a team guy. You don't want to see a teammate go after another teammate. But in the same breath, he's also a guy that wants that level of compete, that intensity that comes with a practice. Where's he at with those skirmishes as they break out?
Yeah, I mean, same thing, guys. I mean, first off, don't injure a teammate. Like, let's be smart. Don't injure yourself. You know, we've always heard these stories of a guy punching a guy with a helmet on, and you're not sensibly thinking when you do that. But, yeah. You know, just being smart, make sure, you know, we protect each other, and we're all trying to make each other better. But listen, these are brothers. You know, I got two boys, and I can tell them over and over to not push the limit. But once in a while, one of them's going to push the limit, and they're competitive, and they're all fighting for jobs, and they are trying to make each other better. And listen, I know I can't yell too bad. We played basketball over here, so you know, not this year, but some years, and we've almost gotten some skirmishes, you know, in the gym. So. It happens. Like I said, it's a fine line. You want to make sure. The main thing is, if they do happen out there, when we walk off the field, we're all brothers. Nothing's carrying to the locker room or the cafeteria.
Brandon, we're watching the Hard Knocks series with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and people that we've certainly followed. How do you manage this when they come knocking someday? Because I would think that's a little unnerving, having a camera follow you around all the time.
Yeah, probably not something I'd be too thrilled about. it is what it is. I know it's the nature of our beast, and I get it. And if Mr. Pegula tells me, hey, you got to do it, you got to take one for the team, then I would do it. But it's definitely not something I'm going to be raising my arm for. Hey, film us.
Video circulating yesterday. I don't know if you saw this. John Elway mentioning his biggest regret from his time as Broncos GM. Do you see this?
One of the guys sent it to me. Yeah.
Not drafting Josh Allen. So do you sleep easy at night knowing you got over on Elway?
I love John. John was always great to deal with. I got a lot of respect. Obviously, I was a kid watching him play.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was very surreal the first time I ever talked to John, just doing business with him and meeting him in person. He always treated me with just one of the nicest dudes. And listen, no one bats 1,000. And I understand his situation. They had just drafted Paxton Lynch. They signed Case Keenum and paid him, I think, $18 million a year or something. So I got it. I totally did. You know, and Bradley Chubb, you know, was a premier rusher. And we're obviously very thankful that it worked out, you know, to our benefit. But a lot of respect for John. And you know what? A lot of people wouldn't have the gonads to say that, and I already had a high respect for John, even higher after hearing him say that.
Brandon, we love having you and the Buffalo Bills come to Rochester. So whatever you need while we're here, what do we have to do to make this a long term relationship?
This is the insecure Rochesterians and us talking. We don't want Big Brother to pack up and leave. Don't leave us. Come to training camp every year. We know how much you guys say you love it, but we're going to remind you every year. Hey, man.
Anything you need.
Wait, listen, we do love it. We really do. And that's, you know, like anything, you got a head coach and a GM that both believe in it. Like, sometimes there's things that he sees one way, I see another, and then sometimes there's not. But this one we both see, you know, eye to eye that, you know, this is very important for us to get away, and it's a good bonding experience for our guys. And so I would expect us to continue.
Knowing how busy you are and your schedule every day here at training camp, Brandon, thank you for carving out some time for us here in the sports bar. We'll see you around, all right?
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Brandon Bean, Bills general manager, stopping by the sports bar earlier today here on The Fan Rochester to share some of the news of the day, including the signing of a new safety in Kareem Jackson joining the Buffalo Bills this morning.
Yeah, so Kareem Jackson, a first-round pick in the year 2010 out of the Texans. Look, give him credit, all the credit in the world for being in this league for 15 years, including Denver last year, starting in 8 games for the Broncos. But you just have to point out the obvious here that, oh, okay, he was out there, you know, and could have signed with anybody at this point. Really, is he anything more than a camp body? Time will tell, but it certainly appears to be the case right now. Is Mike Edwards, not available? He's week to week with that hamstring injury. Obviously, wasn't out there today. And then we get another injury today. This one, I don't know the level of concern we should have. We'll get more details, I suppose, on Thursday. Cole Bishop going down.
Yeah, you hate to see it for the rookie. Every rep is a valuable one. And you have the feeling that a guy like Jackson was actually brought in to kind of work with a young player like Cole Bishop. And now with this injury, we'll see how much time Bishop may actually be missing here at training camp. But he left practice early today and was seen afterwards with his arm heavily wrapped. So we'll have an update on the status of Cole Bishop, I'm sure, at some point tomorrow. Thursday, right?
Yeah,
Thursday is
yeah.
the next time we'll see him, because tomorrow's a day off for the team here, and we return back to training camp here at St. John Fisher coming up on Thursday. So practice observations from today. Gino, I think, from everybody that covers a team and watches this team closely, the standout performer today was a guy that we were talking about yesterday with his teammate Greg Rousseau, Von Miller. Supposedly looks like Von Miller again.
Yeah, he did get around Spencer Brown. He did get to Josh Allen another time. To me, okay, that's great. That's all you kind of need to see out of Von Miller. Everything looks great in the sunshine here at St. John Fisher University, but we're talking about 11-on-11 today. So Von Miller, just as positive on the field as you could expect right now. One player that I'm going to push back a little, and Danger, you're the only one who can vouch for me on this. Okay, what did I say to you first thing after thinking about this last night?
Well, yesterday was kind of a strange morning press conference from Sean McDermott. It was asked about Tyrell Shavers and went out of his way to just heap an enormous amount of praise on the young wide receiver, almost to the point where you look at him and you're like, whoa. Are we sleeping on Tyrell Shavers? What exactly is going on here? Now, we heard today from Joe Brady earlier before practice that, you know, he's not really viewing wide receivers right now through the lens of a depth chart. Everybody's doing their job. Everybody's fighting for their reps. And, you know, what will happen will happen. So you've got veteran guys on this team like Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Chase Claypool, by the way, missed practice again today. And then you have young guys like Tyrell Shavers, who, you know, when Sean McDermott was talking about him yesterday, does everything right. First guy in, last guy out. Sets a good example.
Like, when you look up consistency in the dictionary, there's right. a picture. Like,
and yesterday,
okay.
after the press conference, you're like, yeah, I don't get it. I don't get why you're heaping praise on a practice squad player.
Well, for the work ethic and everything else that you want to bring here on a, you know, at that point, it was a Monday in July, right? This is what you want, but he's talking about work and everything. They're not talking about helping him win games.
Right.
If you're doing the exercise of the depth chart in your mind, I still think Shavers has a place in this organization. It's called the practice squad. If he can learn all the three positions, as the Bills say that they're confident in, you brought in Marquez Valdes-Scantling not to be the July guy. You brought him in to be the January guy. And I am hearing, reading, hey, where's MVS this camp? And look, I would say it would be a shock to me that MVS wasn't on the final 53. We talked to Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard, earlier, but I think there are some things we can kind of agree on here. Wherever you come down on MVS, where you come down on Shavers, I think Chase Claypool is in trouble. If he cannot be on the field, this is your shot.
That's right.
You've got to get on the field next week. You've got to show something against one of your former teams. And it was interesting to hear Matt Perino say, a guy we talked to earlier here in the sports bar, KJ Hamler is a guy that we really can't pencil in. Maybe special teams is something that tips. You brought up Mac Hollins to Matt Perino. He thinks Mac Hollins is a captain on this team.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. And Mac Hollins certainly has made an impact with his teammates early on here. You can see the influence. I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but we saw Taylor Rapp, after doing a few interviews earlier today on set here, walking around barefoot. You know,
yeah.
I'm sure after practice you want to get those cleats off your dogs and let them breathe a little bit, but Mac Hollins rarely wearing shoes outside of the practice field and you know, certainly has captured the attention of his teammates. And I won't push back on Perino when he says he believes Hollins not only makes the team but could be a captain. He's a versatile player, and he's certainly somebody that on special teams is probably your captain if you're going to go that route.
Yeah, I'm pushing back on Shavers, and I don't have the 36 years that Mike Catalana has, but you know what I have, Danger? I got 25. My first camp was at Fredonia. I have watched these camps every single year. There's somebody that looks great, and you're like,
Yeah, but, and that to me, Shavers fits that category.
And also, you have eyes. Shavers is not making every single play, and none of these guys are making every single play. In fact, today was a pretty good balance between the defense making some plays and the offense making some plays. But, you know, for every great play that you see Keon Coleman make, he's also dropping a pass or running the wrong route. And that's that's what you want to work out. Now, here and now at training camp, you work out those kinks, work out those bugs so that you're crisp come week one. But yeah, the Shaver's love was one that was interesting to me, and I view him as Isaiah Hodgins 2.0. I mean, I think if you do this long enough, Gino, right, you can see consistencies with this regime where they bring in a guy, they bring in a guy like Jackson, let's say. Doesn't that remind you of them bringing in Kirk Coleman?
Yeah.
You know, like a veteran guy who can maybe impart some wisdom on some of the younger guys on this roster. So you see consistency in terms of how the Bills kind of operate with who they bring in, who they bring out, who they prop up. And don't be surprised if you're watching week one of the preseason and a guy like Tyrell Shavers is out there with the first team. It shouldn't surprise any of us. They're all fighting for that position, and they're all getting a fair shake.
I do believe Joe Brady when he says, look, at this point, we don't have a depth chart.
Yeah.
Like, you just give guys reps. We'll figure this out as we go along.
Who does their job the best?
But I will say this, though. Something that has, because of the injuries at the safety position, I think it's clear right now. It is would you agree or disagree? The jobs, the two safeties right now, it is Taylor Rapp's and DeMar Hamlin's to lose.
Well, with the injury to Bishop, yeah. I think DeMar Hamlin has the experience in this system, and, you know, maybe a guy like Jackson is able to pick it up fairly quickly and get out there. But I think that the Bishop injury today is bad news for the team. It's bad news for the player. And you hope that he can get back on the field sooner rather than later and that it's nothing too serious because, wow, what an opportunity missed. And it looked like with Bishop getting some of those first-team reps that he was ready for that role. And I assume that through the course of a long season, he's only going to get more familiar and more comfortable in that Sean McDermott defense.
We should clarify, it was Josh Reed, WIVB, who had the report on Cole Bishop, saw him with his arm in a sleeve. Not a sling, a sleeve.
Yes.
So, look, that sounds better to me than one of the legs right now, certainly.
Well, we knew that Ty Johnson was injured in yesterday's session, and he was not in practice today. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. He was on the sideline. Other players missing practice today included safety Mike Edwards with that hamstring. Also, Chase Claypool, as we mentioned, with that toe injury. Mike Edwards remains in concussion protocol. And then there was the scare of Alec Anderson today on the field.
Yeah, this was something we didn't get wind of. Now, we're up here at the end of practice, so I didn't see this, but and I don't think a lot of people saw this, but we were alerted, wait a second, they're taking Alec Anderson to the hospital. Something heat-related. Nobody labeled this, but certainly it is something that the Bills, their fine medical staff say, okay, we got to go get this checked out. The Bills then later, prior to us coming on the air, put out a statement saying that he did indeed go to the hospital and was expected to be released this afternoon. They didn't identify the hospital. They didn't have to. So it's just kind of a reminder that, okay, the temperatures were like, what, high 80s here today? I don't know what we got up to, but on the field, certainly much hotter than that. It's a lesson for everybody from the NFL all the way down to Pop Warner that you got to hydrate here and take care of what you got to take care of.
Absolutely. So a little bit of a scare there from Alec Anderson. And the heat was something today. Boy, the heat was something yesterday as well. I think a lot of fans that were here today actually kind of skated out of here a little bit earlier than normal because you had that heat. Also should mention that Daquan Jones and Nick Morrow today getting the Veterans Day rest, they were not on the practice field.
Can I give Bills fans like a little tip of the hat? Because they have been out here, and it has been hot. And look, there are other places that are more hot, but I would put, I don't know, a place that has a better climate than Rochester, New York this time of year, I would put Southern California because you don't have the humidity,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
This courtesy of our friend OJ, RJ Ochoa, who does Blogging the Boys, SB Nation, you know, one of the authorities on Dallas Cowboy football, and it's a picture from Cowboy Camp today. And I know sometimes these can be kind of misleading, but I recall a picture of
Commanders camp, and this was still in the Daniel Snyder era, where like just a few people against a snow fence. Like, what are we doing here? Is anybody interested in this team? I never thought we'd be saying, wait, where did all the Cowboy fans go? This is sparse for Dallas Cowboy practice.
It feels like a lot of Cowboy fans are out on this team, on this regime. I don't know. I mean, I can't compare it. The image that was being shared today looked pretty slight. I mean, it didn't look like for the first day of padded practice for the Dallas Cowboys that you would think you would have a bigger turnout. Plus, in the market that they're in, they have the ability to invite fans out where teams like the Raiders and the Saints do not. So they've been in that Ventura, it was Ventura Valley, that Oxnard.
Oxnard College is where the Cowboys is. It's outside of the 75-mile radius of Los Angeles.
So they have had fans at their camps, and the images being shared today, light attendance at Cowboys camp for their first padded practice. And maybe some of what RJ is sharing is true, that Cowboy fans... No, they might just be out on this regime, out on this team, or maybe have just grown frustrated with an owner that, by all accounts, is coming off at minimum as cheap. You're the Dallas Cowboys.
He's Jerry Jones. He's cheap. I want to see if Cowboy fans start turning against, because whenever Jerry always, like the image you always had of Jerry, oh, he'll do anything to help his team win. I want an owner like Jerry Jones. He's front of the microphone, blah, 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 blah. No, he's a showman.
Yeah.
And he's getting old and he's getting tired of paying people.
And you hear Jerry Jones speak, and sometimes I hear Jerry Jones speak, and I think to myself, you know, I'm kind of glad that Terry Pegula doesn't speak, that we don't get Terry Pegula every week in front of a microphone.
No, he's hired good people to do that for him. You hire people to do the speaking for you. Let them speak.
Yeah, good people like Brandon Bean, Bill's general manager, who you just heard and who joined us earlier today in the sports bar. Now, if you missed that conversation, if you missed Matt Perino from Syracuse.com and the Shout podcast, if you missed SiriusXM NFL Radio's Jim Miller, we've got those conversations up for you on demand now. Just search out the sports bar in the free-to-download Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Gino, I don't want a slight baseball fan. It's a big day on the Major League Baseball calendar. It's trade deadline day. Trade deadline now is less than a half an hour away, and there's been a lot of movement, a lot of moving parts. I wanted to get an update here when we get to a round of shots next.
Yeah, well, we'll tell you, the Orioles, I think you could say in the last few hours, they have the biggest strike there. I'll tell you why I think it's a good move here for the Orioles. I will tell you who was at camp, by the way, today. We did have some other professional athletes taking in the Buffalo Bills. We'll explain that. Some news in regards to the first football game we're going to see coming up Thursday night, that being the Hall of Fame game. And yes, even on one of the hottest days of the year here, we have some Buffalo Sabres news and something that's a little new and improved out at the Harbor Center.
All right, we'll get to that and more next. A round of shots on the way. And last call as well. You can have the final word in the sports bar when you dial up 866-4FAN-585. 866-4326.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Offensive lineman Alec Anderson of the Buffalo Bills was taken to the local hospital with signs of heat exhaustion today. The Bills say he is expected to be released this afternoon. Safety Cole Bishop didn't finish practice today. He's got an apparent arm injury. On the positive side, Deion Dawkins says Vaughn is looking like Vaughn.
Vaughn is Vaughn. I don't know if y'all see what's going on, but they better watch out. 40's back. 40 is back. And 40 has his aura back. And Vaughn is Vaughn. And just let the story play.
Prior to practice, the Bills bring in a veteran safety. Kareem Jackson has 15 years of experience with Houston and Denver to make room the Bills releasing linebacker Shane Simon. We are live from Bills camp at St. John Fisher University. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, the Fan Rochester.
Got a smart speaker at home? Listen to the sports leader, the Fan Rochester at home, by asking it to play 95.7 The Fan.
All of our guests at Buffalo Bills training camp appear on the Ace Swim and Leisure hot seat in our coverage, brought to you by Ace Swim and Leisure, Chilai Ave and Ridge Road, Webster, aceswim.com, and Maddie's Motorsports with locations in Farmington, Spencerport, and Dansville, maddiesmotorsports.com. It is time for a round of shots.
Yes, as you mentioned, Danger, 6 o'clock is the Major League Baseball trade deadline. This doesn't have, I don't think, the sizzle of some of the other trade deadlines as compared maybe to the NBA or the NHL. And a lot of the movement already happened, but in the last 24 hours, the Braves welcomed back one of their heroes from the World Series, Jorge Soler, going from the Giants to Atlanta. San Francisco dumping some salary here. Houston gets starting pitcher Yusei Kikuchi from Toronto. By all accounts, the package that the Jays got back was decent in return. Now, the big strike today, Trevor Rogers goes from Miami to Baltimore. Now, trust me, Oriole fans, this guy is pretty good. It's just he plays in Florida, right? In his nine starts with the Marlins.
Nine times.
His last nine, he's got an ERA of just over 3. The Yankees did make a move today. They got a bullpen arm, trading for Cubs reliever Mark Leiter Jr. He's a right-hander. Also, Josh Bell going traded once again. He goes from the Marlins to the Diamondbacks.
Okay.
Dylan Cruz and some of his Rochester Red Wing teammates were at Bill's camp today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he's one of those guys, Danger, that I don't think, like, you would kind of come up and I couldn't pick him out because, well, he's not a big dude, but this guy is going to be your starting center fielder for Washington for years and years to come. So enjoy him while he's still here. The Wings, hot night tonight as they open up a series against Omaha.
Yeah, good night to get to the ballpark. Good week to get to the ballpark this week.
Highlight from the Olympics today, and Simone Biles. Like, this is like the comeback story, right? Like, you go back to the Tokyo Olympics, and when she wasn't feeling it, she pulled out, and a lot of people were very critical, myself included. Well, Biles helping the U.S. women get the gold in team gymnastics today. Certainly the individual stuff coming up. What's the low light today? Well, considering that France spent $1.5 billion to clean up the Seine River,
1.5 billion still wasn't enough. Today's triathlon postponed due to high bacteria. They're going to try again tomorrow, and if that doesn't work, they'll try again on Friday.
Couple thoughts on the Olympics, Gene, and I know you're going to say, what are these Olympics you speak of? I wonder how much Olympic coverage or the TV ratings are impacted by the time shift and the age of social media that we live in now, where if you know that tonight you're going to see the women's gymnastics team final,
right,
and you know what the outcome is, and we're excited and we have a lot of pride, and if you want to see that, you tune into it, but I already know what happened, and now I don't know that I want to see that. Now, last night...
Dude, this is nothing new. Like this is why our coverage in the United States is so different. Hey, here's this vignette on this athlete. Hey, here's this storyline. A lot of it is prepackaged. Now, if you watch the CBC or anything over in Europe, it's, hey, here are the sports. You know, here's the game, here's the game, here's the game.
Yes, no, I noticed that in 2016 when I was in Spain, when I was staying with family in Spain during the Rio Olympics. And I did notice a difference in coverage. I mean, they were just covering all of the Spanish athletes, no matter what. I watched a lot of badminton in the summer of 2016. But the men's gymnastics team final that I was watching last night, I was kind of fired up for those dudes. I mean, they get a medal for the first time since, what was it, 2008 or something like that, I think was the last time that the men got a medal. And they're fired up dudes. And so that was fun to watch. But hands down, the best highlight I've seen cross my feed, and this video is circulating. Let me know if you've seen it.
No. Okay, go ahead.
The women's rugby match between Team USA and Australia. Now, I am not going to pretend to know anything about the sport of rugby, and certainly am not an expert in women's rugby. I have a preconceived notion that Australia is probably a better rugby country than USA. Yet, with the way in the waning moments of this match, Team USA carves out a win on an unbelievable run. Like, I'm watching this run, I'm like, where am I taking this woman in my fantasy draft?
Yeah, like 94 yards she's running or whatever it was.
Oh, my God. Such an impressive play. And I, like, again, I wish I knew more about the sport. I wish I could tell you how impressive that was. It looked impressive, and I know nothing about the sport. So kudos to Team USA for upsetting Australia in women's rugby. That's the highlight that hands down today has me juiced up. I got fired up watching that.
No, we will not see Caleb Williams Thursday night when the Bears play in the Hall of Fame game against the Texans. It's expected that the number one overall pick actually will make his debut August 10th against the Bills.
My buddy, who's a Bears fan, sent me video of a press conference with backup quarterback Tyson Bagent. I imagine he'll probably get the start in the Hall of Fame game against the Texans. Keep this in mind if you're watching on Thursday night. Tyson Bagent, we saw him a little bit last year when Justin Fields was hurt. This guy's like an undrafted Division III. Like, nobody wanted him, and you're basically drafting him because you like his character. This is psycho. This guy's at his press conference talking about how he can't worry about whether or not the Bears will bring in another quarterback to compete for the backup role, because he does things like a burpee mile. And if you're listening, you're like, well, what is a burpee? I know what a burpee is. What's a burpee mile? You do a burpee, and then you broad jump, and then you do a burpee, and then you broad jump, and you do that for a mile.
How many broad jumps would it take for a mile?
I guess that depends on how far you could broad jump, right? And that's part of this crazy workout. I get tired just thinking about it. I don't know that I could do 10 burpees if you challenge me, right? Okay, I could probably do 10.
If you gave me like a day to do that, like, and I could get breaks, and you give me a chair to kind of rest and some water in between. All right, let me go. I don't even know if I could do that.
So the guy is a psycho. My point is, the guy is a psycho, and he can't really throw a football. So if you want to see a psycho with his workouts throwing to the Houston Texans defense, tune into the Hall of Fame game Thursday from Kent.
We do have some Sabre news today, as the team announcing the Prospects Challenge is back at Harbor Center. And the good news is, there's going to be more teams involved here, 6 in all, in addition to the Sabres, the Bruins, Penguins, Blue Jackets, Devils, and the Dandelions. Ottawa Senators will be coming to Western New York. The Prospects Challenge runs September 13th through the 16th. Danger, I love hockey. I know you love hockey too. I just can't wrap my mind around that right now.
Well, there will be a lot of people covering that for the team and for the Buffalo Sabres. We'll kind of monitor that coverage. But yeah, I think that takes a back page to everything that's going on that time of year in the NFL.
Finally, we go back to the Olympics and Olympic surfing. No, it's not. You know, it's not off the French Riviera. It's 10,000 miles away in Tahiti. Brazil's Gabriel Medina came out of the tunnel in a wave, so confident in his score. He's got his arm in the air in victory. They scored it a 9-9, which was the best score in Olympic competition. But why am I bringing this up? It also may be the best sports photograph we've ever seen here, Danger. Have you seen this yet?
I haven't seen it yet.
The guy floating over the air here.
Oh, yeah. Let me see if I can get a live reaction here, if you can pull that up. I will say this. I mean, the surfing competition, this is the first Olympics where surfing is considered an Olympic sport, if I'm not mistaken. And that's a cool event that probably prints very well on TV. I will also say that anybody that's participating in skateboarding looks like the coolest, like anybody. Whoa. So this is,
you don't even see the wave.
Dude.
He looks like he's
floating.
He's floating in the air.
Yeah, and he's got his arm up in the air, and he's holding up the number one sign. He knows he just crushed it. His surfboard's parallel to where that's an impressive shot. I like that a lot. Yeah, surfing and skateboarding, if anything, making the Olympics cool. These athletes are cool. Not that the men's gymnastics team isn't cool, but the one guy that's on the pommel horse looks like Clark Kent.
Well, of all these years, decades, like, do they still do the X Games? I don't even know.
I think the X Games are still a thing. Yeah,
like ESPN would cram down the X Games at you, and maybe we just kind of tune it out now at this point.
You know the guy from the men's team that I'm talking about, right? He's on the men's team just because he's an expert. He's an ace on the pommel horse.
Yeah.
Did you see a picture of this
nerd
guy? Kind of looks a little deceptively nerdy.
This guy has the glasses, right?
You got it. Yeah, you got it. But hey, good on them getting the bronze medal. I know that there are other things going on, and certainly the baseball trade deadline, Bills training camp. I'm watching a little bit of the Olympics, Gino. Don't judge me negatively as a sports fan. I know that you say that the Olympics are sports for people who don't follow sports, but I'm kind of into it. I maybe it's a pride in America, but watching these athletes, whether it's swimming early on, I'm kind of into gymnastics as well.
I can't hear you. It's football season.
Yeah,
I hear pads and whistles and
listen to you.
Coach McDermott in my head.
Well, speaking of that and Coach McDermott, we'll tee you up for what we have in store for you tomorrow. It's an off day here for the Buffalo Bills at St. John Fisher University. So Gino and I will be back in the cozy confines of our High Falls studios. But lots to recap from today's show, from today's practice. We'll get to that and we'll set you up for tomorrow, all on the way next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
Last call in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, live from St. John Fisher University in the William J. Pelicano Pavilion as we return to our comfy and cozy confines of the Sports Bar Studios at High Falls tomorrow. The Bills have a day off after another hot practice today, a practice that sent lineman Alec Anderson actually to the hospital to get some fluids replenished earlier today. So a break for the Bills, a day off tomorrow. We're back in studio before returning back to St. John Fisher on Thursday, and then the week wraps for the team with the return of the blue and the red, the annual scrimmage at Highmark Stadium. That's coming up on Friday. If you missed any of today's show, Odyssey Rewind and the free-to-download Odyssey app lets you go back and listen to any part of the show you may have missed for the next 72 hours. You can also search out the Sports Bar wherever you get your podcasts. That includes the free-to-download Odyssey app. That includes Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google. Just search out the Sports Bar and you get all of our guest appearances there. Guest appearances like Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio, like Brandon Bean, Buffalo Bills general manager, who stopped by the Sports Bar today, and Matt Perino of Syracuse.com and the Shout podcast, all available now on demand wherever you pod.
We will be talking to PJ Glasser, your host of Send It In on the BetQL Network, as PJ will give us some winners in baseball. Also, like, get his advice here, too, because preseason football begins in 48 hours. When we talk to PJ, it'll be a day away, the Hall of Fame game. So we'll look at some futures as well. And he's one of our favorites. You hear him late nights here on the Infinity Sports Network, which we carry, Bart Winkler. We haven't talked to Bart there after they paid their quarterback out in Green Bay.
Yeah, we'll get a little vibe check on Packers camp with Jordan Love now being the with the highest paid quarterback in NFL history, right? That's the headline that he holds right now. Bart Winkler tomorrow. And then with PJ also, I mean, he's a Baltimore guy. We can ask him about the Orioles moves here.
Yeah,
the Orioles moves here at the trade deadline, which is now about 5 minutes away in Major League Baseball. So there you go. That's tomorrow starting at 3 o'clock. We appreciate you stopping out and hanging out here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia every afternoon from 3 until 6. Don't forget to follow us on X at The Fan Rochester. Like and subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. JR Sport Brief next on The Fan Rochester.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.